You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Oh, guys, we've got a Warby Parker sponsorship back. Are you guys ready for the Warby Parker sponsorship?
I can't see.
Warby Parker is the new way to get boutique quality, classically crafted eyewear at a revolutionary price point. You can never have too many pairs of glasses. Take it from me, Jonah Ray. You have so
Who's
many
talking?
Looks. It's me, Jonah Ray.
Oh, okay. That
your
makes
friend.
More sense.
Your first friend in comedy.
I can't see.
Cash, get out of here.
Oh.
Oh, man. Here's the thing. I love having multiple pairs of glasses because you have the ability to just change it whatever way you're wearing. If you're wearing a tight, skinny tank top, you could wear circular frames like an Elton John. If you're wearing a baggy plaid button-up, you can be wearing whatever Neil's wearing.
Wait. Who's that guy from House of Style early on? Is that what he recommends with a tight tank top?
I don't know.
Frame?
I don't know. I'm not good at glasses. I'm not good at wine.
Something.
As you know, I went through their home try-on program and had great success. I ordered five pairs of glasses from their website, warbyparker.com, and I had them sent straight to my door. Not only was it at my door, it was in a spot where no one could steal the package.
Oh, important.
I let them inside. Yeah. I got rid of
UPS.
I got rid of the garlic, and I sent the vampire to come on in. Halloween theme.
Theme.
It was so fun and easy to try them on the mirror, and I just showed them to Deanna, and she said, yes, 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 no, which was a reference to History of the World Part 1. I loved getting it. I loved just doing that, and I loved to,
so
like...
she liked 4 out of 5 frames?
I was just kind of, I don't know. It was less about like the actual frame picking than it was a reference to the.
This frame, yes. This frame, yes. This frame, yes. This frame, yes. This frame, no.
Sorry. No, 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 yes. Which you're actually, I'm realizing now, is actually the way it is in the movie.
Yeah.
It was so fun
you're
and
welcome.
Easy. It was so fun and easy trying them on in the mirror. You know, and I liked kind of getting a feel for it before I committed to buying any of the pairs. When I was done trying them all on for my friends and family, which meant Deanna and Ruby the dog and Gooby the cat, I sent all the test pairs back using their prepaid return shipping label. It was just in the box with it. I stuck it right back on there and sent it right back.
Fucking easy.
It's so easy. And they used my prescription to send me the final pair.
Oh, that's nice.
You know, who doesn't want a box of fancy, inexpensive frame? Who doesn't want a box of fancy, inexpensive frames shipped to their place to try on for free?
For free?
Who doesn't want that?
No cost on it.
You know, I'm going to have to say
everybody here.
The only person that I know would be Adam because he has 20/20 vision. And you know what?
He really pushes that in our
You don't have 20/20. You don't wear glasses, Adam.
No, I need some.
You never had to wear glasses growing up. But then you got a disease that almost killed you, so I think we're even. There's no obligation to purchase, but I know you won't be able to turn down a nice, shiny pair of new fucking frames to call your own. There's no obligation to purchase, but I know you won't be able to return down a nice, shiny pair of your own. Support this show by ordering your glasses online today at www.warbyparker.com. Use the promo code Jonah.
Jonah.
During checkout to get your order within 3 business days. Don't forget, that's WarbyParker. Don't forget, that's WarbyParker.com and use promo code Jonah after your home try-on when you're submitting your final order. Thanks for supporting the show. Thanks for supporting WarbyParker.com.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
It's not about like, like mashed and then
drink mezcal, you'll turn into a crazy person.
That's true. I won't.
You gotta drink like crazy Hawaiian fruity drinks.
No, I can't. That would just destroy me.
Oh man,
but
at least get a pineapple to drink.
Yeah, you can
like
drink vodka out of a pineapple.
That's offensive. Pineapples are Cuban.
Are they?
Are they?
Yes.
They don't even have
taro is like the only Yeah, yeah. That was also brought in by the white man.
What about a guava?
That maybe.
Drink out of a guava.
Coconut. Taro root. I'll just hollow out a taro root.
Fermented poi.
What about coconut?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what if you just smoke crystal meth?
Yeah. Yeah, I'll just do meth.
Just Maui Wild.
Drug history. And also crystal meth.
Yeah. Hey, thanks for tuning in to Jonah Ray. Dio can't make it tonight because what's he doing? What's Dio doing right now? What's he up to?
Stuffing a Thanksgiving turkey.
He's getting ready for the big holidays next week. Thanks. We got a lot of friends hanging out. We got music news.
Ooh,
we got
no
a
way.
Twitter
wow.
game.
Get the
it's
fuck
a,
out.
We got some bad covers, but we're going
to
start
is
the
this
show.
Return to form?
This is Return to Form because the last two were so bad. So bad, the episodes. Neil, just fucking Fox relax on that.
Okay.
I know it's your favorite because it's the loudest, most obnoxious soundbite you have, but just fucking know when to use it.
Oh, touche. That is the last.
I wasn't listening.
No. That was not a theme song. That was a song by Hunks and His Punks. It's on that Hardly Art Records label. They sent me some stuff. That's the song Don't Call Me Fabulous from the album Street Punk. So thanks for tuning in to Jonah Radio. I am Jonah Ray. Cash Hartzell is here. Cash, make a fart noise.
Fart noise.
Maybe. That's Neil Mahoney. Adam is Mikeless.
Ooh, I felt skipped.
His boyfriend Mike is not here. How you doing? How you holding up with that?
Not holding anything.
It's good. It's subtle. I like it. Our guest tonight is Stony Sharp. Stony, say hello.
Hello. How are you?
And Nick Weidenfeld. Sorry.
You want wine?
No. And Nick Youssef.
Yeah,
Nick Youssef. Comedian Nick Youssef. Stony Sharp, director. You do a lot of stuff for the old Adult Swim Network.
Yeah, I do love Adult Swim.
And I started doing stand-up with Nick
28 years ago.
Tonight.
Tonight. That's our anniversary.
That's great.
We did. I remember the first time I saw Nick perform, he was wearing a Sublime 40 Ounces to Freedom shirt.
I will never live that down with you. And I still maintain they were. Yeah, I've listened to way worse stuff back in the day.
No, but my favorite part about it was like you had the t-shirt, but that wasn't it. You also had the long sleeve thermal with the sleeves pushed up underneath it.
Oh, yeah. I used to rock that daily.
Yeah, Southern California.
Oh, yeah, big time. The only thing I didn't have was a surfboard to carry around everywhere. I didn't surf, but I'm like, I need it. It's so cool.
That could have been your character. Just like you walk in, like it's like, Nick Youssef, everybody. You go, oh, sorry, I got to take off after this. Major swell coming in out
night
of the east.
Night surfing, man. That's what the real men do.
Night surfing. You seem like a guy that was into surfing.
I was, yeah. I don't associate with surf culture really, but I had this coworker who I hated, and he offered to take me surfing, and I figured that would sort of, you know, get us together. We'd be closer friends. And afterwards, I love surfing, and I still hated that guy.
So someone you hate offers to just spend some time alone with you on the open seas,
yeah,
and you say yes,
yeah,
in the hopes that you would become friends. That's the most sweethearted thing I've ever heard of.
Yeah, I'm down for whatever. And then, like, as a true white trash Floridian, I surfed in cutoff jean shorts with a belt.
Oh, shit. Yeah. That's great.
That's wow. Beautiful. That trash is white.
Yeah.
And that's what part of Florida?
I'm from
all of it, probably.
I'm
not
from
Gainesville.
Oh, yeah.
Disney, well, Epcot. Well, the ball.
Epcot's international.
That one?
By force.
Papa Johnstown. What's that one called?
Papa Johnston?
Yeah.
Papa Johnston, Florida?
Some pizza guy, like, made a town there, right? Was it Domino's?
Yeah, there was
made a
there's
town.
There's a couple of like idyllic towns.
Like it's made out of pizza.
No, like yeah, they, like they bought like 800,000 acres and then started a planned community, and it was like all pizza money.
Disney did that there. The Scientologists did that there.
Yeah, they got a lot of land down there.
Place. You can just go buy a city in Florida if you have enough money and you're insane.
Yeah, marshland.
It's marshland. Yeah.
It's like you buy this land, then you're going to have to put land in it. Just soaking weeds.
Well, it's also that's the crazy thing about Florida, too. Is like once you buy something, they could never take it away from you. That's why a lot of drug like people have houses there and property there.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, there's some weird old law where it's like, yeah, if you buy something, land, it's yours. And no one can take it away.
Except for now God. All the sinkholes are just I will take it.
Well, it's like the extra extradition treaty from Brazil is if you have a kid who is going to be born a Brazilian citizen, you can't be whatever the fuck it's called.
Expedited. No, extracted.
Yeah.
No.
Extradited.
There's a thing where like bank robbers will take off for Brazil and fuck as much as they can to try and get a war.
Doesn't seem like it'd be that hard in Brazil. Seems like it'd be pretty easy to find something to throw it in.
Laid.
Then that's your music news for today. We're going to start this whole party with a song from...
Is this a party cast now?
Yeah, it's a party cast now. I'm tired of just doing music. I just want to party all the time. This is sent in to us. It's a... the band's called Super Soaked. This is off the Scuzzy Sloppy demos, and the song's called Wannabe. Soaked with the song Wannabe. And this is my favorite part of this. They sent this in. They had another band. They said, we sent you a self-deprecating aggressive email once. And I remember saying that about an email, but I don't remember what band it was for.
Be more specific.
Yeah, be more specific. I get a lot of shitty music sent to me. Right. And when I get really drunk on the show is when I start playing it. And then I feel like a demon. I just feel like the worst person. This is my favorite thing about Bandcamp. Also, love that Bandcamp.com. If you're a band, it's the best way to showcase your music. It's just so easy. And now they have an app they're putting out. I love it. I'm a big fan of it. Not a sponsor, just a fan.
Right.
And you can sell your shit
there. You can sell your shit there.
I just bought
that
Turbo Lightning Rider.
Oh, nice. But this is my favorite thing. It's like, you know, SEO tags, a thing you got to do in this day and age. And it's it just forces search people to have to
optimization.
Like, just make their band searchable. So, punk. Beck, dance, disco, punk, fiddler, fuzz, garage pop, garage punk, garage rock, Pangea, surf rock, Ty Segall, waves, Portland.
Pangea? Like, the
Pangea,
guy from
Monterey. What they could have just done is just put Portland.
They could have
covered all of it.
Yeah.
But Pangea is also like when all the continents were together.
That's correct,
like,
Neil.
Yeah.
Give yourself a ding ding.
Ty, that dude. That dude from Modern Family? Ty Segall?
What?
Ty Segall? Isn't that
Ty Segall?
No. That guy's
Ty Segall
name is Ty.
Started a
Ty
band.
Ty Segall is a great musician.
He's
we've
got 50 bands.
Yeah.
He's got a band called Fuzz that's really good.
Yes, I heard about that.
They're really cool. Just stonery, like psychedelic 70s rock.
That's great. He came to the Meltdown the night you were there.
No way!
Yeah, he was there.
Sweet!
Yeah, so Ty Segall saw you perform.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I'm just going to call him a fan now. I'm just gonna run with that until I'm told otherwise. Yeah. Like, no, he hated you actually.
Yeah. No, he walked out. Yeah, he said, no way.
He's like, I was all good until this Nick Youssef character.
So you like a lot of great music.
I would like to think so, yeah.
Now you do.
Now, yeah.
Yeah. I like your hashtag, stop not owning this.
Yes, because you have to. Whenever someone goes, I go, do you have that? I don't own that. Dude, stop not owning that. Get it!
Yeah, it's... I don't ever like to tell people what to listen to.
Right.
That's something that I got out of my system after working at record stores so long, just because, you know, music is so subjective. It's really shitty to tell people, like, no, this is good.
Yeah.
Like, right now, everyone's trying to tell me that the new Arcade Fire is great. Mm-hmm. Maybe it is. Not for me, not right now.
Okay.
Maybe later. Maybe later I'm going to, there it is.
That's a big thing, too, is not right now. Because sometimes you're like, someone goes, hey, this new singer-songwriter. You're like, dude, I'm feeling good right now. I don't need to sing. I need some rock. I need some, like, dance pop.
What was that for the word singer? Oh, songwriter? No, I'm really happy. I'd rather not. I don't know. Like, it's like, Stoney, you like good rock and roll.
I do. Yeah, absolutely. I you know, the thing with me, like, I never... If I hear a song and I love it immediately, I will rarely like it in the long term. So
really?
Like the Arcade Fire, I that first album came out and I talked all this shit on it. I was like, oh, I wish they were in an arcade that caught on fire. And then I finally got it. No, and I'm a slow guy. So it's always a slow burn for me.
Yeah, but those are always the records that, like, when you first hear a record, you're like, nah, not their best. That's usually, you're going to keep on listening to it, and you're going to finally...
Do you guys have anything in particular that, like, you hated when it first came out, and then it like, 5 years later, you just snapped to it?
When we had the guys from H2O on, mm-hmm. and we were talking about all those, like, hardcore bands that had pop records all of a sudden,
right.
like Shelter and... Quicksand, Saves the Day was always pop. Shelter and Civ's second album were just like, I was a kid waiting for, I wanted some more aggressive hardcore stuff, mm-hmm. but these guys were nearing 30, and they were like, no, we just want to have fun, hang out with their friends, have fun friend hangs.
Maybe get something on the radio.
Yeah, exactly.
Have a show that's longer than 20 minutes.
Yeah. And so, that's going back to those, I'm actually kind of enjoying them now and understanding them. It's kind of like when you get older and you watch a movie, mm-hmm. like a movie that you thought you really liked, and you watch, you're like...
Like The Notebook.
The Notebook. Yeah. I get it now.
Yeah, I really do.
I get it way more than I saw for the first time. I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
This is fucking dumb.
These losers now.
Why did you watch
so
that
tender.
Movie twice?
I watched it originally to make fun of it, guys.
Right.
It's
always worth
The second time he watched it, he was at Doug Loved Movies, and he just got overwhelmed. It's one of the most awkward things I've ever heard.
I threw up before I got into that theater because I was having a burrito in the Mission, and then I was running late, and then I ran to the theater right after eating a huge burrito and just fucking chucked right outside the
the Notebook on Doug Loved Movies.
On Doug Benson Movie Interruption.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's what I meant.
Actually, I also like how you're acting like a total fucking male guy, right? He's like, you're fucking watching Notebook? What's up with this faggot right here? It's a fucking girl movie.
I just didn't know. I guess it's
how dare you
confessing my ignorance of his show, but like, I didn't know like that you would do like a movie that old, and then also.
Now, he interrupts all kinds of different movies. But even before that, you were kind of coming down hard on just the fact that I saw The Notebook. I've also seen Mermaids.
I've seen that.
I love Mermaids.
I was just trying to make it known that I've never seen
I think
Mermaids.
I got my puberty right halfway through that movie.
You got your puberty?
I
got delivered to you?
Or he caught it?
There it is!
Fine, I had your shadow!
It's been hiding under the bed for so long, I finally got it.
I know when Cash got his puberty.
Never!
I got sound rapid.
See, that's what I'm talking about, Neil. You have the goods. You have the goods.
Thanks, buddy.
As far as... I'm going to say Promise Rings Woodwater is a record that came out where I was just kind of like, this isn't what I wanted, pop rock.
Mm-hmm.
And then my boss at the record store I was working at was really depressed, and he just kept on listening to it over and over again.
See past episodes for why.
Yes. So that was one. I don't know. What about you?
Stuff that I heard.
Was
and
it
then
the
came...
self-titled Sublime, or was it a...
Yeah, they're old stuff.
Robin the Hood.
These guys were way too high back then. And I'm like, oh, I get it now. I tried pot finally, and now I'm on board. What did I not like? I thought, like, the only recent one I can think of is, like, the Mars Volta.
Yeah.
And
too much?
It was just, like, it just, to me, sounds like this is, like, a lot of noise, which I hate to say.
Yeah.
And then I heard a little bit of it, and then I'm like, you know, maybe I just don't get it. Maybe it's not for me. And then I saw him live, and I'm like, oh, I understand now. It was just one of those things. It just all came together live, the energy of how it sounded and what it looked like.
Yeah.
And I was like, these guys are monsters.
That's what I heard about Pearl Jam. Like, a lot of my friends were like, because, you know, Pearl Jam came out, me and my friends were into punk and stuff. I was like, oh, no, that's, they're no good. My friend got to see him for free live. He's like, you have no idea. Mm-hmm. You have no idea how good this band is.
Yeah. Yeah. Even someone like Bob Dylan, when I was a kid, I was just like, oh, his voice sounds weird.
Yeah.
I just didn't like it. And then when you listen to the lyrics, you've had your heart broken a couple times, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, like, if you listen to your lyrics, like, he's really singing those other guys' lyrics really well. Pa-ching!
Yeah, and then
you and Davis!
Yeah. I saw Lightning Bolt live before I'd ever heard of them.
Oh, wow.
And it was after I drove 22 hours straight from Chicago to Washington, D.C.
Deesh.
Wow. And I went to this show because the people I knew in D.C. were going to this show. And I literally just curled up in a ball in the hallway outside. It was the Black Cat in D.C. And I was like, this is traumatic. Like, I'm going to have PTSD from this show, quote unquote, that I'm at. And I never would have thought about them again. And then I ended up with a couple of their records from, like, press packets and whatever. And they just started getting in rotation again. And it is so noisy and so chaotic and so weird that only after massive repetitions can you kind of get into that song.
Yeah. And then, like, yeah, Locust and stuff like that, where you have to you have to learn how to catch up with what they're doing.
Yeah.
You got to know when the parts change, because then you start expecting it, and then you feel the rush.
Yeah.
I think Lightning Bolt, it's like meditative music. I think it's almost like chill, like Casino versus Japan or Enya. I swear to God, because it's droning.
It just keeps
repeats, and then the next thing you know, you're achieving higher consciousness.
It's funny because it is the changes in that music.
Yeah.
It's like it's so overwhelming, and then there's a little break, and you like it's almost you're letting the music support you, and you fall forward a little. It's kind of like you're about to fall asleep, and it wakes you up.
Yeah,
for
those who don't know, here's what Stony is saying is meditative. I'll try another one.
I became one with God during this.
What is it? 13 Monsters? Or Dracula Mountain?
Yeah, Dracula.
Hyper Magic Mountain?
That was...
Or Two Tower.
Well, this is a band. I think Neil introduced me first, but...
Oh, that's a good one. Go back to that one.
Yeah.
Well, you can tell from
that. I recognize the feedback anyway.
Well, it's like, you know, like, I always push it off my phone, my car, so I don't know songs like me.
The first 2 seconds.
Yeah. If I skipped them or not.
It's only seven more minutes of this, so it's good.
It's two guys, one guy who's the drummer and the singer, who wears a microphone sewn into like a knit Lucha Libre mask.
Yeah. Wow.
And then a guy playing guitar strings on a bass.
Wow.
Yeah, skip like a minute ahead.
It's a 55-second track. Do you mean the next track after this?
Maybe.
Yeah, this is
a fucking jam. Yeah.
The only guy there was in the Lightning Bolt.
And that was the greatest part. I was like, I'm the only motherfucker here who's stoked to be walking at 5.3 miles an hour.
Everybody else, Depeche Mode.
Yeah.
That song Rip, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one.
What was the name of that song if people want to look it up?
That song was called Assassins by Lightning Bolt.
Right.
Yeah.
That's the one.
Yeah.
And we used that as for that thing we made once.
Oh, yeah?
Yo, my name is Nicholas, and this is ridiculous. Got mad gummy money, and it is delicious.
Oh, Nick, is this your song?
Fortunately, no.
This is, I saw this on when I was still looking at Vine. Yeah. And, like, this was, like, on the front page of Vine, and it just fucking...
Yo, my name is Nicholas, and this is ridiculous. Got mad gummy money, and it is deliciousness. Yo, my name is Nicholas, and this
on Vine,
ridiculous.
I think it loops,
got
like, even more
gummy money, and it is deliciousness.
Yeah.
Yo, my name is Nicholas,
not that
and
lag.
This is ridiculous.
That's terrible.
Got mad gummy
yeah,
money,
but it's a guy
that's a terrible thing.
Yo, my name is Nicholas.
Yeah, he does a lot of these just, like, six-second rhyming.
I couldn't stop watching.
Jason Nash has been working for a career for a very long time.
Hey, I'm glad where he gets it.
Jason Nash finally found his muse, and then the muse was disregarded once Instagram had video. Oh man, let's take a break and listen to a song. What did I want to listen to? Oh yeah, This guy came out to see me and Nick just recently did a run of shows at the Punchline Comedy Club in San Francisco.
Greatest club ever.
It was a great club. My favorite part was going up after a way better comic. That was my favorite part. Every night, twice a night in most cases, was because Nick and I, you know, we started around the same time, and we also, like, we're both like the same age. So we're both going, and we're both, like, you know, similar kind of guys, like, into music and into, like, you know, a lot of the same stuff. So we're both talking a lot about a lot of the same themes, where Nick is this amazing, strong comedian where he's just, like, fucking thrashing through all these things. And I would go on stage and go, Nick was talking about... like, I found myself doing that through it. Like, Nick was also talking about... Nick had that really perfectly set up written joke. Here's going to be my version where I just kind of ramble towards an ending and then just kind of hope that I charm you into laughing. And yeah.
This is why you need a prop comic. Opener.
Yeah.
I'm not above falling down.
But after the shows, though, they're like, where's Jonah?
Hey, man, tonight was... I'm a real big fan of Nerdist. That was it. But so this guy came to... he says, hey, Jonah, I'm not really sure if these songs are Jonah Radio material, but I wanted to thank you again for the tickets to the SF Punchline show, which was hard to get because they were still sold out. But I want to send you a few dirty rap tracks by my group, Dirty 530, D5T for the short, because Dirty 530 takes forever.
So long.
Yeah.
Yeah. Please note, these songs were recorded when highly intoxicated, so the production is a little rough at times. Enjoy. And this is a song they sent me called Pussy Whipped.
Oh, no.
It's a little noisy, I have to turn it up. So, yeah, enjoy this.
Yeah. Little girl, I'm pussy whipped. Your pussy's so hot, it's like burning off my dick. I said, little girl, your pussy's so hot, it's like burning off my dick. I said, what you doing in the corner? Looking like a little Jack Horner. I'm all alone, like my color cocoon. I want you on top of my phone and bone.
On your pussy like a microphone. I'll make you moan when I get you home, ready to bone. I'll get it wet and tell you sweat. I'll take your pussy to the vet, cause it's screaming out like it's got to rest.
Tell me what you want, cause you got it coming to your best. Get on the hump, cause I only wanna do ya.
Get on the hump,
bitch, get on the hump.
Get on the hump,
bitch, get on the hump. I'll make you put a jigger like a bowl full of jelly.
Be pulling on my hands, screaming, woo, Nelly.
Like a bucking Bronco.
But don't go.
Can you last 8 seconds on my don't go? Little girl, I'm pussy whipped. Your pussy's so hot, it's like burning off my dick. I said, little girl, I'm pussy whipped. Your pussy's so hot, it's like burning off my dick.
I got a rash for your sash and scratch. I just can't itch. Use a dirty talking, sexy walking, bootylicious bitch.
Hoorah! Look at your hoo-ha. Not like a Kama Sutra.
You're too hot to trot when you pop your twat. So get on my dick and just pop a squat.
Tell me what you want, cause you got it coming to ya.
Let's get on the hump, cause I only wanna do ya.
Get on the hump,
bitch, get on the hump.
Get on the hump,
bitch, get on the hump.
Get up on the hump train, the hump train. Get up on the hump train, the hump train. Get up on the hump train, the hump train.
It's what I need.
Fade out. So that was Dirty 530 Boys with the song Booty Man.
I'm pussy whipped.
I thought it was pussy whipped.
Well, that's the song.
Oh.
It's from, I guess that must be
the album?
The album.
The record. Yeah. Booty Man.
Booty Man is the record.
Pussy Whipped is the track.
Now, I think this is as good a time as any to get into some music news. You guys want to hear about the music? What's
yes,
happening?
Please.
Music news.
These work.
Oh, does he remember? We've
does
been gone
he remember?
For a couple of weeks.
Does Neil remember?
Yeah!
Yay!
I'm super proud of myself right now. Yeah. We haven't done music news in 3 months. I've got 6 tracks to choose from.
All right. You, record scratch out of it.
I could have, but it ended, and then it would have been kind of...
done it. Oh.
Yeah, it still was.
Late.
Boo. See what I have to deal with? This is what I was telling you about.
All right. Beck is working on his new album, which he is describing as a return of California music, such as The Byrds, Crosby, Stills, and Nash, and Neil Young. You know, a bunch of musicians not from California. Neil Young is Canadian.
Yes.
The Byrds, crazy legit British. And then Crosby, Stills, and Nash, where are they from?
Probably all over.
Probably all over.
Well, Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young, still Canada.
Yeah, but he didn't join until later.
Okay. I don't know where
maybe they all live in California now.
I'm pretty sure they do.
Neil Young does.
Yeah, he lives like outside of San Francisco.
Yeah, my dad built him a hot tub in 1977.
That's what we keep you around for that connection to old rock and roll. Yeah,
I will tell you one thing. David Crosby does not live in California. He doesn't live anywhere.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh. He's dead everywhere.
He is. What was that guy that used to be on the Roseanne show that looked exactly like...
John Goodman.
No. He's a fucking Comedy Store guy. Yeah.
He's bald, had the big mustache, also had drug problems.
Oh, David.
Wait.
Damn it. I can't.
David Crosby.
No. You talking about Martin Mull?
No.
No, I know.
Oh, shit.
Martin Mull was.
Bruce Baum.
Bruce Baum.
He looked exactly like David.
I see that dude's headshot every other day. I couldn't remember it. I just remember the face.
Looks like David Crosby.
Martin Mull was on Grace Under Fire.
Yeah.
No, wasn't Martin Mull the boss of the restaurant they worked at in the later seasons of Roseanne?
I think he was.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Man, that guy got really
They made
around.
Like Sloppy Joe's or something.
No, that was Who's their own sandwiches? Restaurant. That was the he ran the restaurant when they were at the mall place.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And then Darlene got to be in the commercial and she was like all cutesy with the French fry.
Guys, Roseanne, Nick at Night, check it out.
Let's name some California musicians that are more California music. I have Bradley Nowell. That's more California
music.
Snoop Dogg.
Very
California music.
Red Hot Chili Peppers.
David Crosby was born in Los Angeles.
Yeah. Hmm. Let's take out my last joke, and then we'll just kind of clean that up, and we'll just take out the rest of the
thing. Sorry, it took me a while.
Yeah. It sure did, but when you did it, it
Bruce
fucking counted.
Bruce Baum wasn't, maybe.
Yeah. All right. There are rumors of an Outkast reunion, and they all point towards a show at 2014's Coachella Music Festival. Andre 3000 was quoted as saying, "We wanted to figure out how to do a show for the people who got us where we are today. A show for rich white people."
Yeah. Rich white people who want to die in dust.
I fucking hate Coachella.
Also,
you love Coachella.
I used to.
But then you turned. You had the great bit about Coachella. Yeah.
I turned too old for it.
Yeah, you did.
Because also, they're going to perform to the people that like got them where they were. People that got Coachella
I made that
now.
Quote up. That was a.
Oh, sorry.
That
okay.
Yeah.
Because everybody would have been four.
Yeah. Yeah, that's I always say this about Coachella, that it's a lot like New York City. It's worth being there if you're a millionaire. You know, any other time, it's just fucking hot and pointless, and it's just...
You're so dumb! It's very broed out now, too.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah.
Really? Is it turning into Woodstock 98 or
99?
Yeah, it's just
it's
really,
more of a Woodstock 94.
It's more aggressive.
There's always that weird
now.
Thing. There's always the weird people that just go to outdoor festivals. You never see them in any other show, but you see them at outdoor festivals. There's, you know, just like, it's like, are you even, they don't even seem like they're into music. They just like the idea of a festival.
They
like the like hippie ladies that are dancing really intensely to music that you can barely hear.
Yeah.
Mm.
It's not just drugs. It's also, I mean, you don't want to do drugs in the sun if you can avoid it. It's about wearing bikinis and like being cool and paying $20
for
water.
Trying to get into that VIP section.
It's like
I'm
a scene, yeah.
Yeah, and you camped. You did the camping.
Oh, yeah, the first few years we camped because it was cheap, $25 for the campsite.
Really?
Yeah.
And then you bring your own stuff. We'd sneak in booze and all that stuff, and we'd just party. Like, you know, we'd get up in the morning because you have no choice. It's 7 a.m. so hot.
Yeah, it's like
get up.
You're in a fucking, like, tinfoil bag in goddamn oven.
It's only $25 to sleep in a parking lot?
It was.
it used to be. Yeah.
Now you're paying Manhattan prices for those parking spots.
Right.
Chris Brown has been sent to rehab for 90 days. Hopefully this again. Will cure, this hopefully this will cure him of his addiction of being the fucking worst human.
Yeah. And the worst graffiti artist I've ever seen.
Yeah, he's got some bad.
Oh, but did you see Bieber's graffiti?
No.
Oh, he's tagging
his
out.
Lyrics.
No, like Chris Brown got
a song. Never even heard.
This
of
was
song.
A while ago, but Chris Brown got in trouble with his like neighborhood association because he was like painting on his garage door.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's terrible.
Well, that's right. I remember that because when Midnight was doing those test shows, Meltdown, they had like the picture of his graffiti, and my joke for it was. Be it a garage door, a face, or a Rihanna, Chris Brown can't help but fuck it up. What's wrong? No, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much. Well, that's it for your music news. Yes, that's right. That's right. Guys, I'm going to need some more energy from everybody.
Yay! Yeah.
We got Summer Sally. We got right. Fucking Jet Lag Jerry. We got Adam. Don't fucking act like you have
you laughed
to.
At your own
don't
joke.
Shrug. Because it was funny.
Don't shrug.
I'm
when
doing
you do
what
sound
you
drops.
Should be doing.
I don't know. I'm in Adam's corner.
With what?
No, I'm literally in Adam's corner. I'm standing over here.
You're laughing at what you just said. Isn't that fun? It's fun to do. Because
you guys laughed first.
How's it going?
Pretty good.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
How's it going?
Yeah. This is where I start getting tired of running the ship, and yeah. No one else picks up the slack.
I can tell you more about rural Florida if you want.
Oh,
was that on the air?
What's that?
Rural Florida.
Rural Florida. It's so I grew up. I don't know if I told you this before, but I grew up next to carnival people. Right.
Oh,
this isn't WTF. Keep on going.
And they made their money off of a famous circus act. You might have seen it because they went to Hawaii. It was called the world's famous Aquamules, and they made their money off making donkeys jump off a 30-foot tower into an above ground swimming pool.
Oh,
now,
shit.
Yes, whoa. It's terrible, but the only way to make it worse is the third act, which is a donkey comes out of a trailer. With a little saddle on his back, and on that saddle is a little teeny monkey, and he's dressed as a cowboy. Mm. And the monkey and the donkey jump through a flaming loop into an above-ground swimming pool. No. And that happened next to my house my entire childhood.
I've known you for like 15 years. that just opened it up. Like that just yeah. That just put it all together.
Oh, that's just really good. Yeah.
That's real. Yes, that's the fucking worst thing.
Yeah,
I also kind of want to see it.
Yeah, actually, I want to see it as an animated GIF over and over again. Yeah. With that guy's song that we were playing earlier.
How much is YouTube and GIFs put out circus people? Like, you don't have to go. You don't have to drive. You don't have to park.
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't have to pay admission. You just go to YouTube and watch that shit happen.
Everyone carries around the world's greatest freak shows in their pocket.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what fucked them up, though? The Cirque du Soleil. That's that's the nemesis of the American circus.
Weird clowns
right
climbing on top of each other?
Just French clowns doing pantomime and shit like that just murdered the American circus.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Well, just Cirque replaced it as a brand.
I mean, the
Cirque instead of circus.
Oh, yeah.
Like, oh.
That doesn't make sense.
The closest yeah, thing, the American circus tried to come back with Cavalia and just didn't work.
Mm. Oh, that was a horse
show,
right? Burbank,
yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Beautiful horses running.
It's all horses.
Oh, I thought that was a Cirque du Soleil offshoot.
That was the attempt of trying to get back, but didn't work out.
But like a ticket to a Cirque du Soleil show was like $10,000.
Yeah. A little expensive.
You have to be a real humanitarian to.
I'd rather go see a circus.
Yeah,
I really would. Yeah,
yeah. I'd rather see the
I've never been to a circus or Cirque du Soleil.
What?
I've never been to a circus.
Oh, you should check
Cirque
out Cirque du Soleil.
I've never been to a circus.
I've never been to a show in Vegas.
Famous circus happened in Hawaii when me and Adam were growing up.
What's famous circus?
A famous circus.
Like the only reason
like
circus
Barnum and Bailey, or is it
for
called
tragedies?
Famous circus.
What? I said the only reason circuses get famous is for tragedies.
Yes, exactly. Okay. Tyke the Elephant. Does everyone remember Tyke the Elephant?
I remember.
That was Barnum and Bailey, right?
Yes, and it happened at the Blaisdell Arena where I graduated from high school.
So you're saying you saw Barnum and Bailey circus?
No. I saw the result of what happened on the news that day when an elephant got shot in front of a bunch of children.
Oh,
oh wow. God.
It's like I remember all the cops started shooting the elephant, and the cameraman swung away to avoid the carnage and just like locked in on a bunch of people watching it.
Oh,
it's almost worse. It's like like it's like, you know, the monster's always scarier when you can't see it. No! Children shielding their eyes.
Blood splattering out of their faces. Like, what happened? Oh, that's horrifying.
Oh, God damn. It's so rough. Oh, here's a song I found.
it's about death at a circus.
You know, because I have the RDO service, and I always like when the new releases come out, I like to just scroll as far. Like, I'll spend 50 minutes scrolling down the new releases to where you just have to get past all the fucking weird covers of stuff or weird, you know, like white label, like people just like putting out like, hey, it's my version of this single that came out today. Maybe you'll make the mistake. Like Transmorphers. It's like that kind of stuff. But there's this guy, Rush Da Russian Rapper. His name is Rush Da Russian Rapper.
Okay.
And all of his album covers are just him looking ripped.
Look oh, shit.
He's fucking crazy ripped.
That guy, wow. Yeah, and, he's pretty ripped.
And the one he just put out...
Wait, is he singing about steroids? Is,
creatine!
Yeah.
He has two songs I noticed, but this one is called I Wanna Battle Lil Wayne. It must be the follow-up to I Wanna Battle Eminem.
Wow.
Real bad.
I don't see Lil Wayne as like a real strong battle rapper.
No.
Being in the codeine coma.
I don't think this guy's talking about. I think he's talking about physical.
Oh. Well, again, he's like this stage.
Lil Wayne. Oh my God. This motherfucker is the
You can tell he's wet because he said Lil Wayne. Lil Wayne.
About the rap. God. Wayne, I'm fucking warning you. I'm gonna fucking murder you until nobody heard of you. I want no fucking word of you. Stay quiet and forgotten until you dead and rotten. You fake and fuck Drake. He never started from the bottom. Look at the music, got him.
With you all just that attacked image. Him using somebody else's song lyrics.
Yeah. 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 Just like threw Drake in. Just some harmless Canadian kid.
Yeah. I mean, from the get-go, he's just throwing Lil Wayne in so he can get more attention.
Well, that's all it is, and that's why I think he did I Want to Battle Eminem. I mean, this is like just fucking like, this. Go to the Grand Canyon and just yell that out. It'll have the same effect as putting out a single.
There's a guy, I can't, was it like Cannabis or something? Like, he was like a low-profile rapper, and then he like started trying to like, shooting.
Your boy Rush.
I want to hope that he starts every song with like, "It's your boy Russ." Yeah. I know you're on track 7 of my album. And you're easy
quick
to forget.
Reminder:
we live in a very short attention span world.
What with Twitter and Vine, only 6 seconds.
It's been a long time coming. It's here now though. I want to.
Not quite here yet. Oh, there it is.
Ja Rule, so he respects.
Yeah, Ja Rule. No, I don't want to battle him.
Ja
I want to battle someone way more famous.
Yeah.
Sounds like he's influenced by DMX. He's got that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Jay-Z,
50 and
Nas.
You want to battle Soulja Boy? Nah, I'll pass. I want to battle Eminem, Slim Shady, the Marshall.
Another call out to Lil Wayne.
He's got a fire to that guy. He's like, hey, how about so-and-so? It's like, no, man, I don't want to battle that guy. Like, stay out of it.
Shut up. I'm recording. There's only two left. No, stop. What about Weird Al when he raps?
Maybe, but I got to write something first. Those are all dead.
I love Eminem, but to make it, I gotta diss him, so listen.
Did you hear that? I love Eminem, but I gotta diss him, so listen. You know.
It's like in order to make it or something like that?
Probably. That's all this has gotta be,
it's
right?
It's kind of a, like, kill your darling, sort of Faulknerian.
Right, here we go.
Damn, I don't have a pot to piss in. He's washed up garbage and a drug addict. I'm a convict. I can inflict a lot
of covering.
I mean, he could have just, like, he could have just talked shit to him on, like, Twitter. He
didn't
make a whole song
once again,
about it.
Another thing that more that would have done better than this. A lot less effort.
Yeah.
And did you hear it's like, I'm a former convict. I can create conflict.
I like to think that he's like, it's like a moral quandary. Yeah. Like, I can conflict you between, do you want pie or cake?
I've never classic hated Tompkins. Anyone that long to be like, dude, I'm going to record an entire song. Like, halfway through the process, I'd be like, yeah, maybe they're all right.
Yeah. It's a lot of effort.
It's a lot of shit to go through. Yeah.
He's got, like, just a ton of, like, one song singles. He's got Promise Ring.
One song singles.
Yeah,
you know, so I don't do RDO. Is that like you can just?
It's like Spotify, but it's a better interface, and the money goes like they have a more of a transparent way of how the money goes to labels and distributors.
Oh, that's
and
great.
Stuff like that. Yeah, it's
and
better.
Anyone can just upload their stuff. Is it like that?
Well, I mean, just as much as they can upload it to iTunes, they have to go through the channels of you know how to do all that shit. But like, you'll find a lot of weird shit. Sometimes I'll just look, and there will just be like some guy's picture of him in a kitchen, and it's like his country album from fucking like you know Guadalajara.
He's got I want to battle Paula Deen.
Oh man,
Guy Fieri shots fired.
Shots fired. Russian rapper. Yeah, he's pretty ripped. Like he would win in a fight with all those dudes.
Oh,
yeah.
Every cover of every single, like I guess, like every song you need a cover picture, but he's shirtless and all.
Yeah,
of them. But
muscles and do not a rapper make.
Shizzled. Well, tell that to 50 Cent.
He's pretty fucking ripped, scars and all.
Not a great rapper though.
No, he's not.
Became monstrously huge because Dr. Dre said that dude is ripped.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Well, he also drinks a lot of vitamin water.
That's true.
He made up vitamin water.
Did he really? I think he just like put money behind it or something.
No, he was at like a 7-Eleven. Goes like, oh, there's like a 69-cent bottle of water, and then you know he looked over at the Voss or whatever, and he's like, oh, that's like a $3 bottle of water. Yeah. What if I made a $2 bottle of water?
Jesus Christ.
Wow.
Oh, man.
It was vitamin water.
Man, I don't go to 7-Eleven all the time, and I have none of them.
And then he just, like, dumped a couple million in this company, and then, yeah.
Oh, yeah. You don't have that part.
Your
brain would be really going if he had a couple million to throw around. All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to listen to a song by Lemuria. The song is called The Distance Is So Big.
Thank you.
Are we back?
Didn't even do that right.
All right, that was Lemuria. Really, really, really great band. And I think this is, here's the thing.
Mm-hmm. Nick,
Stoney, good friends of mine. There's a thing we like to do to reach out to the pieces of shit that listen to this podcast. It's just
fucking assholes.
They're just like, they're done. They got nothing better to do except for hear other people have fun. That's like, that's where they are in their life. They're fucking sitting in their cubicle, or they're driving their
middle
fucking truck
America.
Or they're just like, you know, waiting for
a lot of truck drivers.
A lot of truck drivers.
Wondering why they can't fuck their wife anymore.
Exactly. It's dumb people just like, oh, I'm waiting around till another sick person comes into my hospital. Just people that have nothing better to do.
Losers. Is what
yeah, losers. Yeah, pretty much. And so we like to do this thing where we reach out to them and we say, hey, why don't you act like you're interacting with us, the people you wish you were your friends. And we call that thing Twitter Games. All right. Nothing's gonna ever keep you down. All right. So hold your ground again. This episode's I'm not gonna say weeks because that would suppose that we do this on a regular basis. Yeah. But it was given to us by who? Who gave it to us?
Let me check. It was Dan Engler.
At Dan Engler.
He beat every level of the SDLC on Nightmare Mode. Good for him.
What the fuck is that?
I don't know.
Is that fucking
that
indoor kid
bio.
Shit? Is that indoor kid shit? I don't deal with indoor kid shit.
I hope we get some sort of rivalry going between the two shows.
It'd be great. Yeah. It'd be great. Yes. Shots fired. There you go. Shots fired. And we're gonna take on fucking Walk in the Room. We're gonna fucking take on Dave Anthony and Greg Barrett, who haven't had me on in a very long time. Tried. I've asked Dave Anthony on numerous occasions last minute if he wanted to come on the show.
You're like, at 10:30 on a Friday night, I asked him with small child.
Well, it was like, I was like, last time we did it, or we were thinking about doing it, I like texted Kurt Bronneler, and I was like, hey, do you want to come by tonight? He's like, why don't you plan these things? I go, it wouldn't make it right.
I'm just asking you to get here right now. are you here?
Why aren't you being a good friend right now?
Quesh, are you in my backyard?
I don't think I've ever heard of Quesh.
Quick Quesh?
Quick Quesh. I've never heard that. Oh. Little double Q? All right, way to bail on the bit right away.
Or Q Quesh.
Q Quesh. Quesh Q.
Quesh Q.
Yeah. I like the Quesh question. Quesh. It's like cursive. They both go up. Mm-hmm. Quick mm-hmm. Quesh.
Cool. So the you're gonna fucking bail on me, I'll bail on you anytime, motherfucker. This is what happens. It turns into a child. Bing, Bing, what? Bing won. Oh,
I wish Bing was still winning. I need the money.
Bing won.
Let's Bing it on.
There was a couple of times where I noticed in the San Francisco show where I would start like being like, "Hey, I'm the Bing guy," and people would be like, "I don't. I have no idea." Well, hold on. Don't you rich people in San Francisco go on Hulu?
Yeah.
How often are you going on Hulu? So the bad tour sponsors.
Bad tour.
And
sponsor.
What was the example he gave?
The example he gave was Great White's Flamin' Hot Cheeto Tour.
Yes.
Because they set good. A fire to a place.
That's a bad that's a bad tour sponsor, I'd say. So
Providence, Rhode Island, they burned people to death.
They sure did, Neil. They sure killed a lot of. And they got out unscathed, which is odd because isn't that where the fire originated? Yeah, was it a backdraft situation?
Well, the driver always lives in accidents.
Yeah.
Oh,
their show, they're in charge. Yeah. They live.
Babies and drunks, they say. Yeah.
I hope at least they, like, when they play now, they dedicate a certain song to those people. Right?
Which song would it be?
Oops.
I don't know anything about
it. Yeah, Oops, I Did It Again. Cover, Great White cover with piano, Southern boozy piano rock.
So here we go. At Divine Esoteric says, Neosporin presents Seal's Kiss from a Rose Tour.
Bad.
Yeah. It's a bad tour sponsor.
That's a cut joke.
What? Is that what happened to his face?
No, no, oh, I thought you meant like, because when you get kissed from Rose, you get like
thorns in your face.
And then you put Neosporin on.
Oh, I thought it was in regards to his face where it was like, you know, skincare.
No, he kissed the rose and got a thorn in his face, and then he put Neosporin on his face.
I don't know.
That's a good song. I always say
that's
this.
That's a great song.
Kiss the Rose on the Grave. One of the best karaoke songs I've ever seen performed was our friend Preston Olson, Dirty Preston, sing Kiss from a Rose on the Grave. Fucking, like, brought the house down. Also, Omar is also here singing along with this. Everyone's like, yeah, we all know you're, but, like, fucking Preston, like, nails it. And then I was just like, I think that song could be translated into any other type of music and still be good.
Yeah.
It should be a hardcore song. It'd be a good hardcore song.
Neil, do you remember when we went to Sardo's one night with Hardwick? This was years ago, back when Chris was still drinking. This was like an M bar got out one night. And we were like, oh, what are we going to do early? Oh, let's go to this karaoke bar. We walk in and it's full of porn stars. And one of the porn stars brings the other one up on stage and starts singing Wind Beneath My Wings. But he's changed all the lyrics to be about fucking her and how awesome it is to fuck her. And the place is going fucking nuts. There's like camera people up there and like it's going incredibly crazy. And then they all leave and the place gets kind of empty. And then they go, up next is Jeff with Space Oddity. And the dude from Celebrity Rehab, the guy from Taxi.
Jeff Conway
goes up there and nobody gives a shit. It's very obvious that this dude comes in every single night and just sings that song and like leans into Space Oddity and nobody is paying attention.
I think he more so like went there on porn star karaoke night.
Right.
Yeah, but it was
dead,
sad.
Huh?
He is dead.
Conway's dead?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
And then Hardwick goes up.
He got shot or he shot himself?
No. He just died.
Oh, so how shots fired?
No.
All right. Back to the Twitter game. At A Cornejo says, Third Eye Blind, brought to you by the Braille Institute. I like that because, I mean, I've driven down Vermont, and I tell you, I get a kick out of it every time.
They got some crazy-ass jaywalkers outside of that Braille Institute.
Yeah.
Fuck it. I'm going.
That's I consider great. Them a guilty pleasure band.
Really?
I think that first album with
what song is that?
Doot Doot Doot?
Yeah, that one.
That's a fucking great song.
That's a good song.
That's like the 90s song. Well, but that's in like so many movies. Yeah. One movie, one of my favorite comedies, Dirty Work.
Yeah.
Hey, that's my Canadian's jersey.
Yeah.
That's also the only song about meth.
Like, yeah, it is about doing
like
drugs.
Like there's so many songs about weed, there's so many songs about mushrooms. But or acid or all those 60s songs, but that's the only song about meth.
You would never guess. It's so upbeat.
It is very upbeat.
When you're on meth, you have like better things to do than create art. You're like building a fucking tunnel to China or
digging a
cleaning
hole.
Shit. Yeah.
You guys ever heard Matt Myra sing that song?
No. Do you have it?
No.
Oh, I think I've seen this.
Oh, a fucking advertisement on a video that I shot on my phone. Come on, Chris.
My
so funny.
My mom went to San Francisco on vacation when in the
90s. You should get a pass on this ad.
You want to skip this fucking Best Man Holiday preview?
My mom went to San Francisco on vacation when that song was around, and she came back and she's like, "I know you like independent music, so when I went to San Francisco, I asked, are there any local bands that I could buy for my kid?" And she brought me a Third Eye Blind.
Oh, that's nice.
And then it became like the Parsley Game from. And I would bring it to other people's houses and put it in their CD collection.
So Matt, in this video, we're on our way to a show, and Matt, like, I have like what I call every time I'm in a cold place, I go and buy what I call a spin doctor's beanie.
That's funny.
And every time I put it on, I have to just go little miss, kept warm. And so I throw it to Matt, and Matt puts it on. And Matt's like way heavier at this point than he is now. He's looking great now, but he puts it on,
really?
So his head looks that much more round. And he's in the back seat.
She goes down.
He's so excited.
Don't play that. Not again.
He's saying that there's a line in it. She goes down on me that they used to have to fucking
bleep.
Bleep.
Or like scratch out.
She goes on me. Yeah.
You want to do? I'm gonna you. Keep on smiling when you go through. Keep popping.
He knows all the lyrics.
Yeah, but he also knows all the lyrics of Dave Matthews Band songs.
But that's different. Like, he likes that band. That, by the, whatever, transgressive property. Does he super like this band?
I don't know. I don't know. Like, Matt is one of the, like, the guys who is a snob about most things, but likes the worst music. I asked him to come by tonight.
We still haven't had him on. That's,
I know. Yeah, we need to have him and Mosier on. Oh, imagine if we had Matt Meyer and Mosier on tonight. Wouldn't that be so fun, guys? Wouldn't that be a good time?
Oh. Aww.
Hey, guys. let's go back to the Twitter game. Do you guys have any?
Join in. Musty Snuggle Bites.
Let's deconstruict that
at
name real
James
quick.
James Ensor says, the tea partridge of Clover, South Carolina.
Hey, wait, real quick. Cash.
Whoa.
Say it like a human being.
The Tea Party Patriots of Clover, South Carolina present Rage Against the Machine.
Mm. I get it.
Yeah.
There was a lot of that. A lot of the people that submitted, I would just be like, I get it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not funny. here's one. I like the dark ones the best. Terry Pendergrass East Coast Tour, sponsored by Cadillac.
Teddy.
Ooh, you're right. That's why I said Teddy originally, but then they put Terry. Who's Terry? Terry. Teddy's been killed. Get out of the stage.
The understudy.
Yes, yes. This is Terry's big shot. Yeah, some bed music for this stuff. Right?
Oh, sure.
I can put some on because you don't have full songs.
I do.
Aaron Perry at Secret Lab One says, Cover Girl presents Marilyn Manson.
I don't like that one.
No.
Spandex World presents Lars Ulrich of Metallica.
Church presents Marilyn Manson or something like that.
Here we go. Beach Aircrafts presents Richie Valens, Buddy Holly, and the Big Bopper. I like that they researched the plane.
Yeah. Oh, the actual airline. Oh, wow.
Yeah, they didn't just pick Delta.
Yeah,
a lot of them seem to be about, like, cause of death.
Yeah,
sponsors.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I mean, that's the one. That's how, like, Hormel Ham sponsors Mama and the Papas.
Eric Clapton brought to you by Disney's Gravity Falls.
Ooh.
That's Robbie Turnmeyer.
Turn down a little bit. How's the sound on that? Are we coming out over? Okay, cool. Here's one from at Jedi Chef Sean. Jedi Chef Sean. Tampax presents My Bloody Valentine.
Oh, yes.
That's a good one.
That is good. That is good.
That's a good one.
At Dan Barrel knows the show well. Fun presented by Jonah Radio. You probably like fun, don't you?
No.
Come on, we are young.
I saw those assholes at the House of Blues one night. They were playing a free show.
Hold on, real quick. Neil, less busy
it's
stuff.
Super load.
Less busy stuff.
They're playing a free show because they just done Kimmel or one of the talk shows.
Yeah.
And they're like, hey, free show at the House of Blues at midnight. I'm at the Comedy Store across the street. I heard about that.
Yeah, easy to like it right there.
I'm going over there, yeah. And I'm like, I've never seen these guys live, not crazy about the songs I've heard. And then I go down there, it's pretty full. They're playing, then they play a slow song, right? And halfway through, the lead singer stops and goes, listen, guys, I'm sorry to like our songs are interrupting your conversation, but like we only have a couple more to go. So if you just let us do that, that'd be great.
Hold up, free show, motherfucker.
And then I go... Fuck you. I'm leaving.
I would love to hear it's like everyone's like kind of like, oh shit. And then you just hear in the background, fuck you.
Yeah, I'm leaving.
Can I get these ribs to go? Right. Can I get these baby bags?
It was just, and he's wearing like overalls and like no shoes. And I'm like, just be a rock
star. Well, he's at the House
star.
Of Blues. There's a real rustic vibe there.
True,
I'm not sure. You can get tetanus. Yeah.
Was he playing washboard and a
banjo? Yeah. We are young. Yeah, I fucking. Don't dig in. Everyone always goes, what's that band they were in before? I can't remember the name.
Cro-Mags.
I wish. Age of Quarrel.
That Fun was in before?
Yeah, Fun was in another band before. And people.
Play.
What?
Play?
Nope.
nope. Sorry. They compare him to Freddie Mercury, and I'm like, also, fuck you.
Yeah,
like,
don't
how
do
dare
that.
You.
Yeah.
Just that both should have AIDS.
Hello.
Not supporting that
this
joke.
This is like this one I found. It's the most adorable one I found. Mm-hmm. It's so dumb. Joanne's Fabric presents The Velvet Underground. And then in parentheses, they're being sponsored by Mainstream Felt. That was by at Kid Amiga. Kid Amiga.
I like that one.
Sleep Right Beds presents Jimi Hendrix.
Ooh, I like that one.
Amphonies.
This one's pretty brutal and goes with what we were just saying. At Robbie Tumiri says, Norton Antivirus presents Queen.
Oh, that's an AIDS joke.
That is. As I graze next to when we say that. Kohler Bathtubs presents Whitney Houston's Get Clean Tour. At Peaceful Warrior. Bob Barker brings you the Breeders Tour, but first he would like to remind you to spay or neuter your pet. That's at the Effner 88.
Google presents Jonah Ray.
That's good.
Yeah. At the Ken Edwards.
That's good. You guys, do you have any?
The NAACP presents Screwdriver.
How come no one else laughed?
Do that well.
I liked it.
Yeah. You know, there's a reaction that has a sound. When you think something's funny, there's a thing that you can do to show the person that said it. Yeah.
You laughed very loud. I laughed a little bit loud.
I'm
more focused on that. I can't play any fucking music.
At Carlos Fugazi says QVC presents Fugazi.
You got to know a little backstory for this, but at Garbage Time says Angry Birds presents Kings of Leon.
Now give us the backstory.
Yeah,
the Kings of Leon were playing an outdoor festival, and birds started shitting on them. And they were like, "We got to do something." They got really angry about it, and they're like, "We're not going to play anymore if these birds keep shitting on us." And then more birds shit on them, and they just left.
They're acting like someone. That's also great. Aren't they Christians?
The Black Keys?
No, former.
No, no, not Black Keys. It was
Kings of Leon. Yeah, they were raised by their dad was like a Pentecostal.
Yeah, their dad was
amazing.
Like, it's pretty good. Yeah,
how much better does it make their bland music?
Not little, much better.
But you like you.
It's like they're all alcoholics, but they think they're going to hell for being alcoholics. So they're like way over the top, and
how much does this documentary, how many interviews is it with the A&R guys from the label that kind of constructed that whole story?
Right.
It's mostly like, cause like their dad was like a traveling preacher guy and was just going town to town and was like always broke and whatever. And then eventually their folks split up and they stayed with their mom. And then the only thing that kind of stuck with them was like playing music and stuff. And then they
became, the only band that could ever bore me were the Sons of a Preacher Man.
You know, band sponsors, this is not a joke, it's true, it's tragic. Back in the 80s, Acme Window Lock sponsored Eric Clapton's tour.
Really?
No way.
That's for real?
Yeah.
That's for real?
No, there's no Acme.
Oh, I know.
Like anvils and rocket shoes.
They make rocket roller skates and window locks.
Because I'm like, oh, Acme, the guys that make the bandage wraps? That's crazy they would do that. I fell for that pretty hard.
Oh, ripped to the kid.
Yeah. Ripped from the headlines. It's
priceless. That's an AV club quote.
Yes.
If they ever even pay attention to it.
Zappos presents Kanye West.
I don't get it.
It was a thing that happened today. It'll be over by the time this comes out.
At Iris G Man says NASCAR presents Def Leppard. Does that not make sense?
Did the drummer lose his arm in a car accident?
What?
Did the drummer lose his arm in a car accident?
A light fell down, I thought.
No, it was a motorcycle accident.
No, he was in a car.
He was in a car.
Seatbelt.
Yeah.
Cool. Remember that, kids.
Yeah, okay.
Dr. Scholl sponsors Bob Marley's tour.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Did he lose his foot?
Conspiracy theory.
And, right.
That's what gave him cancer.
Here we go.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Going back to
the government.
What we heard to begin the show, Stevie Wonder live presented by Warby Parker.
Blistex presents The Flaming Lips.
I saw another one that was Massengill, and I felt like that was a little bit dirtier and a little bit cleaner.
But that was at _ Spookalicious. Hey, if you have to put an underscore in front of your name, think of a new name.
Yeah.
All right. This is kind of good, but it's Mountain Dew, spelled like Husker Dew.
Husker Dew. Friend. Dew. Mm. Jonah Ray Donovan says, Smokey the Bear presents TLC.
Nope. Nope. Nope.
I don't get it.
Left eye burnt down in man's house.
Oh, yeah. Left the fire? No. No.
Nope. It wasn't a forest fire. It was a house fire.
It was a shoe fire.
At Ed A. Salazar says, American Airlines presents Lynyrd Skynyrd's tribute to Randy Rhoads. That's what makes that one better than the other ones where people just had the Delta or American or Alaska. Like, you know, there was the John Denver. There was all the different people. But the fact that he added tribute to Randy Rhoads.
Twofer.
Yeah, it's a twofer.
Twofer, American Airlines disaster joke.
At iMackin, good friend of the show, Bose noise canceling headphones presents My Bloody Valentine. What would you hear? What would you? All right.
Oh, Prozac presents The Cure.
Here's a really rough one. At Rocky Mountain Mike.
Prozac is the cure for The Cure.
Yeah. At Rocky Mountain Mike says, Elliot Smith's World Tour is sponsored by Ginzu Knives. Here's another good one. At Glorified Extra, Boar's Head Ham presents The Mamas and the Papas.
Yeah, that was a good one. That was the first one I saw.
And this is one of my favorites, too. At Glorified Extra also says, Pepto-Bismol World Tour presents G.G. Allen. Yeah, that's it. Neil, you want to?
Neil's always
quick.
The end?
No, well, Neil's always quick to be the one to end the game.
Oh. Well, there we go.
Apple for some reason.
I started figuring I had problems with my phone. And, and 3, 2, 1.
So do you pick a winner for the game?
Oh, hey, that was your winner game. Shut the fuck up. No, we don't have a fucking winner.
I don't know.
Just the fact that they get their Twitter name read
That's
by
true.
Me, Jonah fucking Ray Donovan.
Right.
I feel like you haven't explained that on the podcast. You've done a very good job.
I did it on the Nerdist podcast. And believe you me, more people would hear it.
16 million listeners versus 4.
Hey, no? You got a good fucking 10K, bro.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
I should start.
Hold steady between 8 and 10. I don't know why.
I should start humble bragging about that.
I just did it for you, friend. Well, we're going to play a song, take a break. We'll come back. We're going to check out some bad covers.
Found a bunch.
But we're going to listen to. Internet. Okay. You know what? Let's listen to Kurt Vile.
Ooh. I just saw him last week.
KV Crimes is the song. It's on his album, Waking on a Pretty Days. I fucking love this album. You guys hear this album yet?
Not yet.
Oh, you're
cover art by Steve Espo Powers. No one cares, but me.
I kind of care. It'll get there.
Internet's starting to.
Something's always in the way. All right, what now? It's fine. Think I'm ready to claim what's mine rightfully. With
right?
All right. Now, keep in mind, I don't have permission to play that song, but I am a big fan of Kurt Vile.
Big fan.
Got to buy that record on vinyl. Well, on honeymoon in Shoreditch, London, got to go to a Rough Trade.
Okay.
That was pretty fun.
What's that?
Rough Trade is like a really awesome record store chain.
Oh, okay. It's a chain.
Also a type of gay sex.
Yeah.
What's the gay sex part?
It's like Rough Trade.
Gay for pay?
No, it's more like it's wrestling. Like
I thought it was like for dudes, like Leather Daddy dudes.
Yeah, it's like Leather Daddy.
Isn't
like
that store in Silver Lake?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't that called that?
It's not a store so much as just like a hangout.
A culture.
I thought it was a scene.
It was a store. That is the last.
They sell stuff.
That is like the last. That and like
the last gay outpost of the East.
Those are the two. The bookstore is also.
Yeah. But I think the bookstore is gone now, though.
No, it's still there.
Are you sure?
Oh, God, I hope so.
Yeah, it's Rough Trade's got
to
be there.
Rough Trade will have to just stay. I mean, La Barcita. Well, here's the thing. That was, you know, Silver Lake was the, before it became, you know, the hipster town, it was the gay mecca. It was before Hollywood.
It was where they call them gay frontiersmen. It happens in every city. They're like where shitty neighborhoods where, like, you know, there's, you know, tenements and whatever, like, gay populations will move in because A, they didn't typically have children, so they weren't concerned about good schools.
Yeah.
Right.
And they were fucking dudes, and usually like big dudes, so they weren't really sketchy about their safety. Yeah. So they're like, oh, we'll just go get this super cheap house and we'll fucking make it awesome because we have great taste.
That's the best part about being gay is you're always rolling with backup.
Yeah.
Well, I remember the first because you know the Sunset Junction festival started off as a way for like a lot of gay guys started moving into Silver Lake, and it was a way to like connect with the Latino residents that were already there, feeling that they might be getting pushed out.
Yeah, it was like a little community festival.
It was about the unity of you know the two groups. And I remember the first time I went.
And then that festival ripped off the city for $60,000.
So much money.
Suckers.
Yeah. But like, I remember the first year I went, it must have been like 2002 or three. And I was walking down the street. It was back when it was like, they didn't charge for it. Remember? You just walk down. It was a street festival with amazing bands.
Yeah, yeah.
And I remember just seeing these two like prison tattooed, shirtless, huge like Vato guys.
Yeah.
And they were holding hands. And like I was like, wow, that's weird. And then they just one guy like pulls in the other one, and just starts making out with them, where it looked like it hurt. Yeah. Looked like they're about to break their lips all through their teeth.
And that, my friend, is some rough trade.
That's some rough trade.
Yeah,
there it is.
I remember in my head too. Like I remember in my head, I was just like in my head, I was like, I bleed for you, Holmes. Yeah, we're going to get into some
bad covers.
Bad cover songs. Pick a thing. Pick a thing.
Pick a thing?
For bad covers?
Yeah, for bad covers.
All the like songs are kind
of
taken.
Some of the Bill Tackett songs.
That's worth it, right?
That is a bad cover.
We don't use the Bill Tackett stuff enough.
Is that the second
Most of the stuff that's been sent to us from the show has been all Bill Tackett.
That's all these second.
What the?
Yeah, that's a good one. What's another one? These are all good.
I don't remember asking you a goddamn thing.
that should be the Twitter game song.
That's good, Cash. You get a treat. I am obsessed with I was always going on YouTube and putting in bad covers, but I realized no one's gonna tag their own video,
right? Bad cover. Yeah.
And so I just put it into my preferred search engine. Ash Jeeves. And so I found this one. College Humor did a list of them, and this one.
You're a mean man.
This is a guy. He's a he's at a church, and he just starts talking about how he's become famous for doing this song, which sounds like the biggest prank.
Yeah.
And he's going
to bunch of people told him, like, dude, you've got 80 million downloads on this song.
Yeah.
He's like, that's so great. I don't know how to use a computer, but that's awesome.
Yes.
Can you show it to me? Well, the internet's broken right now.
Internet's broken right now, bro.
Oh, we don't have internet on this computer.
So you guys know the song Looking for a City?
No.
Okay, so here, I'll play... from the actual song, Looking for a City.
The original composition.
So
So it's one of those kind of gospel.
Yeah. Oh, wait, yeah, I do know this.
Actually, instead of saying Southern gospel, you could just say gospel.
Oh, wait a minute, yeah.
Okay, I know this one.
You get the idea.
There's a part that you need to hear to really make this other part really
good. Okay.
It's coming up. Okay.
I kind of like this song.
Oh, it's really good.
Yeah.
Sounds like
okay.
My ancestors.
So remember that. Now here's the guy. Now he's got his hair receding,
mm-hmm.
His belly taking up the slack, his pants
showing the signs
his pants
of battle.
Were probably pleated, but you can't tell.
Oh, blown out pleats
really made their top choice. So therefore, we're going to finish off with this one. It's called "Looking for City."
Today.
You went like Cole Cartman. Great intro.
I didn't know you was going to start out with looking for a city built above. Looking for a city where we'll never die. Where the saint in millions.
This is also some rough trade.
Also, I like that, like, it's like, looking for a city. I've sung it a bunch of times. Here we go. And the piano player starts going, he's like, what are you doing? What is that? And then, like, and then it's like, da ba da ba da ba da ba. And then just doesn't even bother starting over.
It seems like he got ambushed, and it's, like, not the key he's used to.
He just knows the chorus.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does sound like somebody who can't hear themselves. It hears, like, somebody without, yeah. Used to monitors.
It's a real Linda McCartney situation.
So that yeah, was one that I found. And where's the other one?
Jonah has a lot of personal responsibility he feels about Linda McCartney's death.
Are these any of the... These are all... There was some that I wanted to show, but were just sad.
Oh.
Yeah. Here's a girl that is really angry at the fact that she can't sing "I Will Always Love You" by Whitney Houston.
I've always been angry.
I edited an episode of Drunk History about that very song.
And, yeah. Oh my god. I'm sorry. Let me do it again.
Is she apologizing to the internet?
Why did she upload the mistakes?
And
you gotta go lower, man.
Oh yeah. Man,
I do that.
Neil just doesn't enjoy the fact that she messed up. What the fuck? You gotta go lower, you 9-year-old.
Well, she's also
Neil
stupid
has
looking.
Some notes.
She has. All right,
you
so
can see her rolling her eyes too as she was messing up. Like, fuck, I did it again.
Yeah,
yeah. Because how many fucking tries did she do off camera before she was like, I've got it now? And then
also, I don't think kids know that
failures.
If you film it, you don't have to put it up.
Yeah.
It'll be
well,
fine. Yeah. But she gets even angry at herself, and it's almost demonic.
Always love you.
Jesus Christ. Just picks right back up.
Jeez.
Oh, it's gonna scary.
So, apologies for anyone listening with headphones right now.
Yeah. And her eyes like roll back in her head.
That was the scariest one.
Wow, oh, that
dead
face,
eye.
Man.
You know what it was? It looked exactly like when in Nirvana Unplugged.
It's just turned 12 years old.
And he just and then you see him thinking, like, you just see him see into the future. He's like, oh, I'm gonna fucking shoot myself. And then he goes back into the song. Exactly what this girl, the face of this girl made. All right, so
yeah, it was like
one.
A brief second where she looked through the camera and saw everyone watching.
Yeah, yeah. This one I found on the Complex site, you know, hip herp, rap. And I only reason I wanted to play it is because it's a soulful version of one of Neil's favorite songs.
Oh, really?
Bands,
oh, Mandy?
Bands of Make Her Dance.
Oh, let me get the app open. Oh, never mind. It plays low with this dumb connectivity
thing. Internet might be. Oh, come on. Advertisement.
Meanwhile, Adam's trying to, like, grope us.
Okay, Johnny, fill in the...
Let's not do that.
Let's not do that.
Here's
the thing. I love cover. I love an interesting cover. Oh, yeah. We've talked about covers before. Adam remembers skinny setting.
God damn it. Adam's taking photos.
On these
chairs. Hey, it's impossible. We are wearing the controversial shirts tonight.
Controversial?
No, this is not. This is another shirt that I have. There's another shirt I have that looks more like this one. This
okay.
Why are they controversial?
Because I kept telling Jonah, I was like, oh, I have that shirt. Oh, wait, no, I don't. Because it was very similar.
We're all wearing the same. Mine's just red.
Yeah.
Same kind of thing.
Oh, I'm wearing the shirt I talked about last time.
This is a dumb shirt that has a weird lapel button that I have to button over. Oh, you have that too?
But I button it over to the side.
I don't like it. Yeah.
Set on these.
How do you do that? You have a button that's like on that. The same side.
And then you button it over, but I just put it on the button that's underneath there.
Get what?
I don't know why the internet is doing the thing it always does.
And
they were all preloaded.
Do you want me to load up my thing?
No, just kind of a bummer that the internet is always like perfect for a while.
Settings.
Personal hotspot. Turn it on. Do you want to know my Wi-Fi password? One.
Put it out for the people.
9DPS9V.
You know, when I was a kid, I thought that...
Shut the fuck up!
We're trying to fix the Wi-Fi here!
How could this possibly be more interesting than me reading a Wi-Fi passcode that won't be good an hour from now?
Oh, you guys are right. I'm so sorry.
No, what were you saying?
I just refused to talk.
No, but seriously, our podcast is terrible.
Now it's back.
Is that... R. Kelly?
That is soulful.
Yeah. It's pretty bad.
What's Juicy J? Originally.
Yeah, originally. Allegedly.
Bands that make whole dance.
Oh, Jesus
Christ. Bands that make whole dance.
My God.
You guys have favorite covers?
One of my favorites is The Drugs Don't Work, originally by The Verve, and then Ben Harper covered it. Well, I'm not crazy about Ben Harper, but that cover is amazing.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's
Wait,
so...
which song?
The Drugs Don't Work.
Oh, okay.
By The Verve. It's super sad.
They did a song that they ended up having to pay the Rolling Stones.
Bittersweet Symphony. Yeah. That was their biggest hit, and they can't make any money off it. And you hear it everywhere.
They didn't even make that tune.
Rolling Stones
didn't make the fucking bim, 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 bim. Right. They didn't write that. Someone else wrote that.
Well, and the Rolling Stones, like their first three they albums published were all it, blues though. Songs.
They say the same thing about Zeppelin, is that they just stole dudes.
Also, Rolling Stones are just the Stone Temple Pilots of their time.
Oh, how dare you.
They are. No,
how
here's the thing.
You're such dare
they have a
you.
Lot of great songs, but you know what? Stone Temple Pilots also have a lot of great songs. You know who they're not as good as? Nirvana. And that's the thing. The fucking Rolling Stones are not as good as the Beatles.
Flush yourself down the toilet.
Yeah, I would agree with
that. No, I agree with
you. I like the Beatles better.
Yeah, the Beatles are better.
Beatles are great, but as Howard Kramer says, Beatles are oxygen. Like, do you like breathing? Do you like breathing oxygen? Great.
Well, then why is it always like Beatles and Stones? It should be like...
You're the one that posited the one versus the other.
Because that's what everyone always does.
Do that. Here's I don't know the thing, why they do either.
Like, it goes Beatles, and then it goes fucking the Kinks, and then it goes the Zombies, and then it goes to the Rolling Stones.
The Zombies and the Kinks have way more fucking better
songs than the fucking Rolling Stones.
I would say, actually,
are you kidding me?
Side by side with the Beatles, because the Kinks never had to cater to an American audience because they got screwed, so they just played for England and they're
that's
awesome
true.
And perfect.
Just the fucking Village
Rolling
Green Preservation
Stones
Society,
have great
like just
songs.
That album is just better than anything that the Rolling Stones ever did. Here's the thing: Under My Thumb is an amazing song, but fucking Honky Tonk Women is a pile of shit. It's a pile
they have a
of
bunch
shit.
Of pop songs, but like the
Vaseline. That's a great song too.
It's pretty good.
It's a pretty good song.
Vaseline sucks.
No,
I like Stone Temple Pilots.
What do you like? Fucking Days of the Week. We like Sour Girl.
No, but Sweet Virginia by the Stones. That song was amazing.
Sure. I didn't say they couldn't make good songs. They made a.
I'm objecting to the fact that you compared them to the fucking
odds are
ADL because
I don't like any of the Stone Temple Pilots.
The odds are, if you make enough songs, some of them will be really good.
Like I look at Stone Temple Pilots as like kind of like a chaser band. Like oh, like there's this musical movement, and they're like we're gonna go like try and do that too. But Rolling
Stones, that was Candlebox. You're thinking about Candlebox.
I put them in the exact same fucking.
Candlebox above Silverchair.
Yeah, yeah.
Sponge.
Fuck, but like Silverchair, those guys were like 15 or whatever. It's like, well, you were just influenced by whatever you were listening to.
Yeah.
But fuck.
What are you talking about? Like, Stone Temple Pilots?
No, I'm talking about Silverchair.
Oh yeah, 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 yeah. They were kids.
Yeah, they were kids. So
there
like,
there's no bathroom. There is no kitchen sink. And the water. It's very hard to drink. It makes no sense.
Yeah.
Right.
But they had that grungy voice.
I can't believe you.
Let's drip. Remember when the Vines were supposed to revitalize grunge? Yeah.
You're now pulling a Jonah Ray Led Zeppelin on Rolling Stones.
You don't like Zeppelin either?
All right.
All right.
You don't like Lord of the Rings and making love?
What?
That's all they sing about is Lord of the Rings and making love.
I know. I like the Lord of the Rings movies. If they were making songs about the Lord of the Rings movies, I'd be all about it.
Oh, you are horrible.
Songs about
you are horrible.
On a book? Get out of here, nerd.
Hey, man, they sing about Gollum. They sing about
Zeppelin's acoustic songs. I love.
Yeah. I love their acoustic
songs. But everything
songs.
Else, I'm always just like, I used to love it, but not anymore.
This is my impression of every Led Zeppelin song. Hey guys, this song we all want to show off, right? Okay, let's all show off all the same. It's like Cream. Let's all solo at the same time.
I always felt that it was The Who and Led Zeppelin, and I like The Who a lot more than Led Zeppelin.
I used to think I love The Who, but apparently back in the day, The Who were for the jocks, and the Led Zeppelin was for the nerds.
Really?
Exactly.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I get why Led Zeppelin is for the nerds, because I think they have a song about rolling a D20, but...
Yeah.
No?
Okay.
No?
Did they really?
It's like a Dungeons
No, we
Dragons
all knew what you meant.
Yeah, no,
but,
it just didn't work.
But the reaction you wanted?
No, didn't exist.
No. It existed. It was just not present.
No. Think about that the next time you admonish me for fucking not laughing at your dumb pun.
What dumb pun?
I don't remember.
That pun is done.
Oh, guys. Oh, he just put his microphone in a glass of vodka. Walked away. Roaming the earth.
All right, more bad covers. More bad covers. Here's some guys that tried to play One Arm Scissor. At the drive-in, it would seems to be.
Oh shit!
You know when you like you talk to now you probably know about this term. It's a term I only know because of Stand By Me. Backfield.
No.
They don't have backyards; they have backfields. That's when you know there's a lot of room for a lot of meth.
Oh yeah!
Oh wow!
It's everyone has land. They don't have property; they have land.
Right.
Yeah. And so this is what it looks like. It seems to be a backfield of sorts. And there's a boat nearby, and it's a four.
There's always one of that. There's like a boat or a tractor,
dry dock boat. Some guys outdoors, shed.
Filmed by Eric Gray.
Yeah,
and they are plugged in somehow with like a thousand foot.
So our first song is called One Arm Scissor. It's a cover from a band called At the Drive-In. Check them out.
Check them out.
Yeah, bro, I showed them that band when I went to college. I brought it back.
Wait.
Oh.
It's faster than that.
Okay, keep in mind, he's like, whoa, no, it's faster than that. Now listen, as he tells them to go faster, do you know the beer, Stoney?
Yeah. thank you very much.
Remember how he tells them to go faster, now listen to him try and keep up. He just jumped up on a amp on grass, and also he started late because he's not in time.
Vacuum, check the oxygen tank.
Is the singer singing to the drums or the guitar?
You know, I can't tell. Yes, that was like real in tune musically. It's like he's always was like that's way off. The guy's starting in his own head. He's not going along with anything he's hearing. Then he finally gets to what he wants to do.
I'm somehow amazed how, like, the guitar sounds like it's on it, like, in tune, and all of a sudden it's just not.
Yes, yes. You know what that is.
I don't know how he's doing
that's
that.
That's not playing correctly.
I know.
It's also plugged into a tree.
Yeah, he's behind.
Just a reminder.
Oh, here. Where is it?
He's not a good guitar player.
What song is this now?
And the thing is, it's like, even if you can't even see the guitar, you know it's an Ibanez. You know it's like a serious Ibanez. Ibanez, the guitar
the
you can stab people with.
You should play the real song.
who is he singing with? He's not singing with. And if you go to minute 3 on this video, you'll see him jump off the boat.
The boat,
yeah,
in the yard.
He gets off. He gets on the boat.
His big finish.
Speaking of covers, have you guys ever seen the MGMT video of them doing? I think it's Life During Wartime. It's some Talking Head song. But it's literally the first time those guys ever played together. It's outside of the dorms at whatever college they went to. And they're
wow.
like, hey, we're going to like have a concert. And it's them and like people are going to class behind them. And
let me guess, and they fucking nail it?
It is. It's pretty good, actually.
They're good.
Yeah.
They're good. They're like, they're like, you know, they're very
I was just, I found it
they're
a
like
while
the Pamplemousse of their time.
I feel like they took Jonah's a dive after that first album.
Jonah's really You're laughing at your own LaCroix reference?
What?
LaCroix reference?
Is that a LaCroix? No.
Pamplemousse?
Pamplemousse.
It's French for grapefruit.
No, I know, but it's like it's also that like real. It's that duo that really cute girl and the guy that lived in an apartment in Brooklyn, and they would make those songs together.
Didn't
they? Would edit, they would film all the pieces, and they would edit the songs in video.
Uh-huh.
They would like they would put all the songs together in a video, and then they were on a bunch of car commercials for a bit.
Yeah,
weird
car commercials.
Yeah, yeah. But the
I don't
girl was like
them.
Fucking real cute.
Yeah,
oh, the girl's cute.
She did a cover of Lil Wayne that was fucking fantastic.
They have just like millions of views on all of their things. That's how they make a living off of it.
Oh wow,
and it's funny because you see the guy and you're like, he probably had a huge crush on that girl.
Just like Zooey Deschanel and M. Ward.
Yes, that's what I think about like, all the time.
He's got to totally want her, right?
Yeah. He really thought he was going to be the Ben Gibbard of the situation.
Yeah.
Now they're split, so maybe.
Oh, you're right. She's back on the market.
You listen to that Ben Gibbard solo album?
I did not know.
Some references.
I heard you with Jake Johnson.
Ooh, good for Jake.
Yeah.
I love that Jake Johnson. You know me, Jake?
I don't know if
he's
I have.
Hang out a bit in the scene.
Yeah.
Maybe just, I have. The
he's
name
an actor on New Girl.
Oh, right. Okay,
he
yeah.
He's a guy that would hang out sometimes. And,
maybe
like,
I have then.
Yeah.
Okay. He's the inspiration behind Drunk History.
Yeah.
That's
right. That's right.
Yeah,
History. Sorry?
Oh, wait. Here he goes. He's going up on the dry dock boat. Where's he going? Here it comes. They practice real hard. But here's where you see where the singer almost messes up his fucking life.
Totally.
He just. Here it comes. Gears up.
Does he fall off something or?
He just jumps off.
Oh no.
Too good.
Ooh.
And then, but fucking continues because, hey, that's punk rock as far as his brother sold him.
That's rock and roll, man.
So that's another really good one.
Wow.
Later,
I have to listen to the original like to cleanse that out of my system.
Yeah, I want to play it. What's the name of the song again?
One Arm Scissor.
One Arm Scissor.
So just a knife.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's a knife with a handle right there.
Probably.
I'm kind of impressed he knew the lyrics. Because he looked like he was just pacing around trying to remember them. I mean, their lyrics are like crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
No, you need a dictionary to listen to After Driving and Mars Volta.
It was like the fanciest dictionary.
Right, right, right.
Like a dictionary of just like, do you want to impress your friends? Well, get this dictionary.
Right.
Get this dictionary.
Make sure you got all the moves down. You know, it's like, yeah. At this point, I got to get up on that drive, that boat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait for a mic.
Sorry.
That video had 40,000 views as well.
Yes. Here's One Arm Scissor, the real version.
Oh, thank you, John. I was trying to do it on my phone.
Yes, this is the campaign.
Oh, it's much better when it's
a little bit tighter.
Like, yeah.
It is a little better. But, you know, they're not in a field.
That's true.
If you put them in a field, they sound exactly the same.
Oh, absolutely. It's all about acoustics.
Yeah. So that was that one. Here's one I'm kind of confused by. I hope it plays. It's this like cool-looking black kid in a municipal waste T-shirt. But the cover of it is Aeroplane Over the Sea.
Oh, that's fun.
Oh, emo black kid.
But no. I think he's making fun of it.
Oh, really?
Also, he does this weird thing in the beginning.
Hey. It's my first video. I'm about to cover the Neutral Milk Hotel song. Mainly because I would have did something with some distortion, but, you know, I lost my cord to my new amp, which...
He shows his amp, and it's like a little Marshall buddy that he pulls up, and it has like...
Look at that. Son. This was...
The band Sun-O.
Oh,
you know,
God.
He has like a hand, like it's a white piece of paper.
Drew it on.
It's written on there, but then he says this.
This was made, the guys from Sun gave this to me as a gift, because I showed them how to, like, you know, make weird sounds.
So that's what makes me think this guy knows what he's doing.
Right.
It's a very subtle, weird comedy.
Yeah, Sun-O is a weird reference.
Yeah, oh, and there's just the way the sticker is.
I'm about to play In the Aeroplane Over the Sea by Neutral Milk Hotel.
He's wearing a municipal waste shirt, too.
He's got...
What a beautiful day. I found a place in the aeroplane over the sea. It was something about. I'll be laughing out loud.
Oh, that's too bad. I wanted to root for this guy, but he's not good at what he's trying to do.
Let me licorice.
That's not in the words.
What a beautiful day I found in this place.
I feel like we're making fun of this guy and he doesn't deserve it.
I think he's making fun of Neutral Milk Hotel.
100,000 views, too.
Yeah, well, it's like you put Neutral Milk Hotel on anything. And I'm not going to read any of the comments because he's black and it's YouTube.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
So they're friendly and reasonable?
They're racist Neutral Milk Hotel fans?
No.
I don't want
to. Oh, man.
This is like,
oh, that's a convention like I'd like to see.
Clan member like, yeah, I grew up outside Louisville. And I got something to say about there.
Yeah, okay, I know Athens. I know R.E.M. I know B-52s. Like,
there was one that said, that's why black people should stick to rap.
Yeah.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Wow. It's like there's never been a good black rock.
I like to think that it was a lot of Anne Frank fans. Anne Frank fans that came to this.
Yeah.
Get out of that emotional indie rock. That's a white man's music.
So that's another one. Here's one, and it's sad to do a sad cover. Especially when it's Elliott Smith.
Yeah. the saddest of sad.
Because he's like, you know
it's impossible to not do a sad Elliott Smith.
Yeah. There's this guy clearly at some kind of open mic in 2006.
No.
Everything means nothing to me.
Oh.
And this is the worst. I'm showing people these things because I wish I could do this to most of the music people send in. This is what I would love to do, but I can't because...
Don't do that, though, because that's going to discourage people to send in music and we want them to.
No. I play a lot of music that people send in.
Okay, good.
And for the most part, we like all of the music that we play.
Yes, exactly.
Well, we like all the music that we play. We do not like all the music that is sent in.
Yeah. Well, here, I'll say it this way.
the longer and nicer the email, usually the worse the MP3 that accompanies it.
Short and sweet, people.
Which is like, if you're going to go on in length about how much of a fan you are of me and the Nerdist, well, guess what? You probably spend too much of your time listening to podcasts. Kind of fucking break it.
We that's, play that's songs just me being a that dick. Are accompanied by emails that are like, here's the track, fuck you. And then we play the music.
Yeah, it's like we like our musicians to be like women or cats or just like, you know, they just kind of just like, you're a piece of shit. Well, what do you got?
Can I just say, I don't think this should be like every time, but I think this should be a recurring segment. This
you know
cover.
How much I've been trying to look for this shit the whole time, and I'm wasting a bunch of them right now.
Someone found the future.
Oh, also, listen in the background. You can kind of hear people laughing.
Oh, no!
As a statue in a fountain, attention looking backward in a pool of water, which is with a blue songbird on his shoulder.
You hear that?
Yeah.
This guy's a fan. I've done a lot of music open mics. Like,
that's right.
You do some that, like, because they're just, it's at a bar. And people are not everyone there is to see the fucking open mic.
Adam, don't ruin the reality that I've set up for this fucking enjoyment.
Okay, people
that,
are laughing at him.
Yes,
well,
thank you so
him.
Much.
Never
you're
mind,
right,
never
Adam.
Mind.
You're right. You're always right. Also, the video is just mostly just black and then just red light on this guy in the center of the screen.
He's like Mars.
Everything means nothing to me.
Yeah, so
pro tip to all you open micers, record yourself at home, listen to it back before you perform in public.
Something about like a bad cover, it just reminds you of every embarrassing moment you've ever gone through.
Yeah, I was kind of going through that too.
And you feel it, especially when they go, it goes, something to me. And it's just like, oh, that time in third grade where someone kicked me in the stomach and I farted and everyone heard it.
It's also
that's what I thought when I heard him sing that.
It's also never a good idea to do like a slow, sad song over mic, you know? Yeah, it's just going to bring people like...
Hey, I know we're all having a fun time right now, but...
people are drinking, they're falling asleep.
Yeah, they want to sing along. Just every me.
Oh
God!
So I guess the 2 years that I put into like practicing this Adele song for karaoke is probably not a good idea.
Yeah, just do one of her upbeat ones. Here's one that I found, and you
wait
guys can
a minute,
tell me.
There aren't any.
Yeah, that's wrong. Rolling in the fucking
rolling in the deep.
Rolling in the deep.
Hey, Sky Mall. That song's Sky Mall.
That's a fat that joke, and I'm offended.
Are you?
I'm fat.
This is what I was telling you guys about. I want to be the first to apologize.
She sung the theme song to Sky Mall that you get in airplanes.
No, Skyfall.
Oh, it's Skyfall. Oh,
it was a James Bond movie.
I didn't know. I thought it was for the magazine. I
was following in the tradition of a lot of great artists.
I thought it was
doing the cover of
the driest joke. Just
I was extra aware after you tricked me with the last joke. I'm like, okay, what's he saying?
You steal that
joke
like an abused wife. Where you're just like, oh no, it's Thursday. He's coming home.
In Florida, we just lie, and if somebody believes you, that's a joke. Yeah. It's absolutely true.
I love that kind of joke.
So here's one. I think it's a band called Take That. I think they're
the British pop group.
Yeah, they're like a One Direction type.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Well,
way back in the day,
was Robbie Williams?
Yeah, he was. He was a member. Yeah.
Oh, Robbie Williams. I found a really bad cover of Robbie Williams doing song 2 from Blur. It was real bad.
I thought you were going to say song 2 by Fugazi.
What?
I thought you were going to say song number 2 by Fugazi.
Robin Williams, I think, it was just put out a record called Swings Both Ways. It's a swing record. And I just fucking love that title. That
title. Yeah. Oh, I feel like the early 90s missed something by not having a bisexual frontman for Big Bad Voodoo Daddy with that album.
So this next cover is... you had your opportunity earlier when he was given the backstory for fucking like 2 minutes before getting into the interesting story.
I know, but then we made eye contact and I got lost in your eyes.
And I brought up porn stars, which is usually good for another 30 seconds.
And that was like classic ones, too. That was all 80s ones.
Oh, yeah.
So this is Take That.
They do a cover of Smells Like Teen Spirit.
Oh, just like Kurt intended.
That's your song.
Yeah, it's like there's a bunch of stuff. If you look up Nirvana covers on YouTube, you'll understand why Kurt Cobain did what he did. You just go, oh, he knew exactly. That's what he saw, just like that girl. Yeah. He saw the future, and he was like, oh, no. Yeah. I got to go.
I got to get out of here.
Yeah.
First bus out.
So there's this delightfully...
Is this the same take that? This video looks like it's in the 70s.
Nah, it's just a
Is it like
YouTube.
A Menudo thing where they have new members?
So this guy tells everyone to go apeshit. And then he starts playing...
The gentlest chord.
It's like, you know,
listen to how bad. Listen how bad they are at this. It's so bad. And the drummer comes in weird.
Yeah, that's not good.
And then the singer rips off his shirt. He rips off his shirt.
Oh, my God.
And also, the guitar player doesn't know to, like, switch it up when it gets to the singing part. Watch.
Oh.
And then he realizes.
Oh, he's late.
Everyone's showing mostly skin.
Oh, God. I want to read that Steve Albini letter like a thousand times to cleanse this from my soul. I'm trying to think if like I... Because I played it in a bunch of like...
It's like they're covering the Weird Al version.
Hey, guys, you remember when this was played on accordion? We put it on guitar.
It's like all just like dumb session musicians.
Oh, my God.
A bunch of boy band dickheads in the front.
No, it's the boy bands are playing it. They're all gorgeous guys.
I've never heard of
that. No, but like Take That was like a boy band, and then they had like a backing band, right?
No. Look at the video, Neil.
No, they're the
boy band.
But I mean,
I'm not saying that like the band was probably not aesthetically pleasing as well.
Yeah.
No. But they were
the band.
They
were
the boy band that played their own instruments. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Also, did you know that Crazy Town used to cover New Noise by Refused for a little bit?
Wow.
That's weird.
Yeah, I'm not going to play it because it's fucking pointless. Yeah. Also, I found in the searches, I found in this list of shitty covers, fucking Quicksand covering How Soon Is Now by The Smiths, and it's great. It's great.
Oh,
and also, Walter starts off with a fucking Gorilla Biscuits song just by himself. It's fucking perfect.
I'll tell you what, though. Like, some Smiths fans are like some huge snobs about
Latinos.
Latino teenagers.
Nah, that's a very small subset.
Hey, I know where we are. Keep that quiet.
Oh, yeah.
They can hear us.
You're right. So here's a kid by himself doing a No Age cover.
Wait, I want to hear the fucking Quicksand thing.
No. I'll show you later.
Okay.
This is for bad covers.
Oh. Fucking kid in his bedroom. Of course it's bad. That's so bad.
I got so excited. I was like, man, a kid. Like, No Age is at a point where, like, you know, I remember seeing them at the Smell. Like, it's like, No Age is at a point where they're, like, being covered by a kid in YouTube. And this.
You like to think that's all right for YouTube. I should tell me more.
Enough
like
distortion, I'd probably fucking rock out to it.
Enough distortion, it would sound like No Age.
Yeah.
And it's funny, too, because he's not even clearly in his room. He's in
the kitchen.
It's
the
grandma's house.
Yeah, he's in his kitchen in his grandma's house.
Oh, his parents died.
Oh, Neil, bringing it down. So here's the one we're going to end on, and then we'll go into a song to cleanse our palates.
Oh, boy.
This is Fergrian.
You let me violate you.
I'm pretty sure this is a Sesame Street beat underneath it.
Was this like Tool or something? Or Nine Inch Nails?
Nine Inch Nails.
Yeah. Sung at like a library fundraiser in Connecticut.
Yeah, this is a cello on stage. Band.
Yeah.
That is
I kind of don't hate this.
Yeah, it's not.
No, they're snapping.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you guys, you remember Richard Cheese?
Yeah, Dick Cheese.
Dick Cheese.
Yeah.
You did all those like swing versions of.
Oh,
he has a song in the Dawn of the Dead remake. Okay. Get up and get down with the sickness.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, there was a guy called Lee Presson that did swing stuff. It was Lee Presson and the Nails. Where was his band?
I always just think, whenever I think about like swing, I think about that jazz. I go, ooh, that jazz.
When I heard, when Weird Al used to do all those polka versions.
Polka.
I heard, because I listened to him when I was a kid before, like, you know, hard rock and all that stuff. So when I heard Dr. Feelgood by Motley Crue, I thought they covered Weird Al for like a good 2 years, and I wasn't sure, and there was no internet, and I was afraid to ask anybody. So for so long, I'm like, why would they cover him? It's so weird that they would do that. And then in conversation you hear later, you're like, yeah, like when Weird Al covered it, I'm like, that's what it was. That's what it was.
Oh, man. All right, we're going to take a break, and we're going to listen to Michael Cronin's song Wait from his album that came out this year. It's a great, great album. Let us do this, Merge.
Nailed it!
Ready for the second wave, the wave you've seen.
That was Michael Cronin.
I like that song.
Yeah, it's a great song. It's a great album.
I gotta get that.
Yeah, it's really, really good.
Is that the guy that does all the Crass covers? No.
No, no, that's Jeffrey Lewis, okay. Which is also a great album.
Oh, but Michael Cronin, we saw at FYF.
Yes, yeah. He's great. We saw
Writer
him.
For
saw
Conan,
Tyson,
right?
All. What?
Writer for Conan, right?
What are you talking about?
Guy, Dan Cronin.
Oh, good. Good.
Good reference for me.
Yeah, there you go. Inside baseball.
That was a fun improv game you just played.
We want to talk baseball. I can talk baseball. What about that Tim Hudson pickup?
Not the place or the place.
I'm really swinging blind on the soundboard right now.
So let's you know dig in to Nick.
Let's dig in.
By insulting me?
After 2 hours, let's dig in.
I know. After 2 hours, let's get to know our guests.
2 hours plus also, like, three quarters of a bottle of Pasternak vodka.
Nick is used to this because Nick is like, he's, a year and a half sober?
Yeah, almost.
And it wasn't really like a sober choice. It was just like, I'm done with it, right?
It's a combination of all that. It was like, this isn't fun anymore. It's making me more depressed than normal. And I'm going to stop for a while. Jesus. And then that turned into almost 2 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's great.
Do you get the urge to drink?
Every once in a while, if it's like people are like, oh, yeah, it's a great day out. We're all going to some happy hour thing. I'm like, oh, that sounds like fun. Or
day drinking is the only fun drinking. Like, there's never, it's like hey, we're all going to get together at 10:30 at night and start drinking. It's like, that doesn't sound fun.
Right, yeah.
Day drinking always sounds fun.
No. At 10:30 at night, the only drinking that's fun is alone drinking.
Yeah. Right. You don't know what fun is.
I never did that. Or, like, when, like, if it's like the beginning of summer, it's like, oh, we're going to go bar hopping. I'm like, oh, that'd be fun, like that. But it just isn't worth it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, is it because of your tendencies to just, like, go for it?
Sometimes I would really but I would never go for it. Like, I'm gonna, like, you know, ruin my life.
You
or,
never
like, drive
seemed
a car.
Like a guy that
I never got in fights. I've never been in a fight ever. Like, yeah. I'm not that. I don't get violent.
I'll show you how.
You'll show me how. I was like a fun drunk. I'd go like if I was drunk somewhere, I would be having a good time. But yeah, I would just get like – I started getting depressed aside from that. And then like going out and drinking was not any more fun. And then if anything, just became more depressing. And I'm like, well, I don't like drinking for that shit. So fuck this.
Yeah.
And then it's just like – I didn't go like to meetings or anything. I just was like, I'm not going to drink for a while. And then after a month, I just stopped thinking about it.
Really? Oh, it was just like a
– here and there something will pop up. But never like negatively. Like if I'm stressed out, I'm like, I just want to down a bottle of whiskey. It's just usually like nostalgic fun.
Right. Yeah. Nostalgia is probably
well, that's
a huge factor.
I mean, drinking is nostalgia. Like drinking is the best way to bring the past right to the present. And then to like buddy up with the past and just think about the future. That's what drinking's all about.
But yeah, and mine just started becoming more like just like depressed, miserable, kinda like, man, this sucks. And then I'd go out and drink and then I'd be like, well, I don't feel better. I feel worse.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's not the way I
what
like living my
that
life.
That drinking betrayed you like that.
I know. It's kind of shitty.
Yeah.
I gave Jameson so much money. And they couldn't repay me. At least let me have that. Yeah. Motherfuckers.
Yeah.
You have done a lot of cocaine while you've been sitting here, though.
Yeah. I cannot stop doing coke.
And it's great because you have so much more money to spend on.
Yeah, to spend on coke and heroin. Yeah. That shit's fun.
Tomato. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the worst thing about drinking is like the sourpuss attitude you get when you're not drinking. It's like, whatever. Like that kind of drunk of like the, I don't want to. Whatever. But all you're actually going to do.
Anyone?
I don't know.
I sobered up on an airplane at 3 a.m. last night.
Oh, that's
horrible.
Right. You got the jet lag.
Oh, that's terrible.
And I was starting to get hungover, and I had long underwear on, but I was too drunk and tired to take it off, so I just burned in my plane seat.
Ooh, wow.
It was awesome. So why'd you quit drinking?
Hey, guys, I just got off this plane, and I hit rock bottom.
Well, we've had a great time. That's when you fucking
held your hand up, and then I thought you were going to cue it.
I like that the ending was like, so why'd you get sober? Tell us this serious story. And we're done.
So why'd you get sober?
We've had a great time. Yeah. I would like to thank our guest, Nick Youssef.
At Nick Youssef on Twitter. Yeah. Two S's, two F's.
The two S's, one F.
Two S's, one F.
Yeah. Would you like to thank the guy that nailed that Q?
Nailed the Q.
The second time.
Bring it down a bit so people hear what I'm saying. Two S's, one F. Nick Youssef.
NICKYOUSSEF.
You have your podcast.
Yeah, Occasionally Awesome.
Occasionally Awesome.
Me and Kevin Christie.
Yeah. Also, be sure to check out.
I just did a big role on Masters of Sex last week, right?
He's got a few episodes. He's got like four. Or
something. That Kevin Christie's getting acting work. That's good for him. Yeah. That's really good.
Yeah. You seem
No, I'm just saying because like,
bing it down a little bit. All right, bing it down a little bit.
Hey, Cash, fat it down a little bit.
I bet you he went out for the Bing thing and you got that over him. He's in every other commercial.
Yeah, there was a bunch of guys that like.
I went out for it. Fahim went out for it.
Yeah. DC Bing Pearson. Yeah, was like,
I was there the same day.
Yeah.
Bing one. Let's bring it on.
You are a Bing man, man.
You're playing it.
It would. I would be way more into those samples if I were still getting money for them. But they've had to. And we've had so much fun hanging out. Also, Stony Sharp. Stony is one of my favorite people in the world. We didn't get into to talk about Mystery Science Theater or Joel Hodgson.
What's your podcast?
Colossal Youth.
Colossal Youth.
And if this was a little like quieter, people could probably hear that.
Colossal Youth. Check them out. What are you? ColossalYouth.org?
I think it's thecolossalyouth.com or you Stony Sharp at Twitter.
Stony Sharp. I've known Stony for a long time. He's a very good guy.
That's really cool. But when it really comes down to it, I just want to say thank you, everyone, for listening. If you liked any of the bands you heard, go check them out. Buy their music. Go see them live. Get a t-shirt, get a sticker, get a button. Do whatever you can to support music.
Jordan, if I can interrupt, how do you feel about Warby Parker?
They've already heard how we feel.
They already heard the...
Oh, fantastic.
I love them.
Proceed.
I love them.
Hey, guys, it's a little early, but we should probably start plugging this now. February 8th? In the
February 8th, we'll be at the San Francisco Sketch Fest doing a show at 1 p.m.
Just smell me live!
See how this show works during the daylight.
I plan to be single.
How does that
Adam has something to say.
I plan to be drunk.
Adam plans to be drunk.
And it's if you want to come out and check out the show, it'll be fun.
It'll be a last weekend video.
It's a venue there. It's a very fucking poo poo it.
You remember video
stuff. Dumb piece of shit.
We'll have all slept on the apartment floor of my parents.
I'm so happy.
To be well rested.
You laid into me with a you fucking and then you bit your tongue.
Yeah. Because I ran out of things to and just call you.
Oh, no. You didn't. You just had something you didn't want to call me.
No. That's fine. I want to thank our producer, Cash Hartzell.
Hey.
Neil Mahoney on the Neil Mahoney. It's my brother, Adam, the stenographer of the group. Adam, say something. You're the best. We apologize for the first episode. If you want to support the show, go to bluecollardistro.com and buy your very own Dio shirts. It might say Jonah Ray really small at the top of that.
And if you like the soundboard, just send some PayPal to neil@neilmahoney.org.
Don't send any PayPal. Do not encourage him at all.
No, I got ripped off by a bunch of people lately.
We're going to end the show with the Moses Campbell song. Thank you so much.
That was like a funeral ending.
Stories all about you. You like to be silent. Well, I can be silent too. And it's all over. And I'm so sorry. I wouldn't tell you. But you don't like talking. And it's all over. And I'm so sorry. I wouldn't tell you.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.